This is Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the fabulous sports babe on RadioInfluence.com.
Hey, it's the Babe Cast. You like that? I am the fabulous sports babe, as you know. And I'm doing this, and I have to tell you, I'm very excited that, well, first of all, I'm going to have people at my house. And as we know, I don't like anyone coming to my house. Now, three people are coming over for the New England thing. I'm not pleased about it at all. If you bring four, I'll quit. I'll make them all leave. But that's all right. We're coming over to this one. It's going to start at 4 o'clock. I'm all excited about this one. Kansas City at New England. I love New England. They have the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life. I got to believe that Kansas City is going to get killed in this one, at least by New England. And that one, Pittsburgh at Denver, I don't know. It seems, you know, Peyton Manning's going to be great, but can they even throw the pass? Ben is up there, like, you know, struggling around. I don't know. Seattle, I'm loving you, Seattle. And I'm going against you, and I'm going for you, because I don't think Carolina's going to win this one. I could be wrong, but we will have to see. Green Bay and Arizona, that's over. I wasn't buying Green Bay at the very beginning. I'm not buying it now. Arizona, I like an awful lot. So that what we've seen, that's what we have seen and what's coming up. We will do more about this kind of stuff. John Clayton will join us. I've known John Clayton since 19, God, I hate to say it, about 20 years now. And, you know, he used to come on the radio, and I'd say, does anybody know what he does? And they'd say, yeah, well, he comes on the radio once in a while. And this is when I was in Seattle, and I said, put him on every day for me. He was great. And then when I was at ESPN, I remember John calling me and saying, I'm up for a job. And I go, oh, I'm the worst person you want to talk to at ESPN, because I'm the last person they want to talk to. But I'll do whatever I can to help you out in the middle of that. And the rest of it is history for him. It's been great for him. And I'm happy for him. We'll talk to John Clayton. We love him more than anything else. And we got to talk a lot about the playoffs that are coming up now. First of all, you went to Minnesota. How cold was it? Because I sat in Florida, and I felt like I feel my breath coming out.
Yeah, it's the coldest I've ever been in. And I was at the game in 2008 when Green Bay was hosting the New York Giants, and it was -6. The wind chill, I think, was about -20. And I remember doing a stand-up on the field. You know, we did it 2 minutes before countdown on ESPN. And so I'm standing there, and I had a light coat on because I didn't put a heavy coat on. It was -6. Wind chill was -20-some. And so now you could see on HDTV the frostbite going up my face. My ears were frozen. My mouth was puckered. And then Bob Lee had the magic words, oh, and we have time for some extra questions.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, fortunately, I didn't have to do any stand-ups, but it was so cold that when I went to my car on Sunday morning, rental car, I turned it on, took 20 minutes for anything to defrost. I didn't have any gloves because I grabbed a coat that is so heavy that I didn't put my gloves in it, mm-hmm. And I was scraping, and it took like 5 minutes just after scraping for about a minute or two for my hands to thaw. And as I drove to the game, the car never warmed up, and it was a new car. I mean, so it's like that's how cold it was.
You know, I wonder when you're doing that, are you doing a lot of this for the magazine? Is that what you're doing? I mean, I see you a lot on TV, but you write a lot for the magazine, don't you?
Well, no, it's more .com.
You know,
magazine doesn't ask for too much. Did a lot of stuff in the early 2000s for the magazine, but they really haven't asked for too much of late. But you know, it's all .com, it's ESPN radio, it's ESPN TV, it's digital. There's, you know, a lot of stuff, but you're kind of all over the place, which is kind of a good thing.
You know, I don't want to say anything, but Seattle was coming in there, and you know, for the first five or six games, I was going, what's going on? And they're just on a roll, it seems, right now.
Yeah, it really is, and part of the problem, and they're usually, just like the Patriots in normal years, slow-starting type of teams because, you know, there's always going to be change and there's always going to be turnover, and so you have to kind of figure some things out and see what identity the team's going to have. So they started the season out, Cam Chancellor, the safety, held out, and so the secondary was a little discombobulated for a couple weeks, and so he came back after two, and they were a little thin in the secondary. They had brought Kerry Williams in to fill in for Byron Maxwell, who left for Philadelphia, and Kerry just didn't fit in. It just didn't work. So they lost five games early with fourth quarter leads because the defense gave up some points. Okay, that wasn't good, but that was reality. On offense, Russell Wilson didn't have a pocket for the first six games, was sacked 31 times, couldn't, you know, really get any kind of rhythm going in the passing game. Then around the Dallas game, they started to get a little bit of a pocket. They made a change at center. And then since then, he has completed like about 82% of his passes from the pocket. I mean, he doesn't throw many interceptions. You know, ended up with 34 touchdowns. I mean, he's on an absolute roll right now. And so you've got a hot quarterback, a better offensive line, a manageable running game, and a defense that for four straight years has given up the fewest points in the National Football League.
And, you know, one of the things, too, is we said that Seattle's been on a roll. Green Bay, every time I saw him, I thought, well, this isn't going to happen. And then something happened. I think it was 35-7 the next time I looked. And it was like Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the guys just grew up and played well this one game. I don't know how it's going to mean for the next game, but I know they were terrific last game.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be able to hold up. And I was in week 16 at the Arizona game.
Right.
And at that game, you could see there's no separation at the wide receiver position. And what's worse is now Devontae Adams is not going to be able to play. He's out because with a knee injury. So they have basically no weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I know that Randall Cobb is one of the best wide receivers in football. He's very good, but you can cover him because he's not real fast. They have the slowest receiving corps in the National Football League. And now you can see it.
We would think that if you had the slowest receiving corps, that would be something that you'd be looking for in the draft. So we've got Green Bay and Arizona, and the other one, Pittsburgh. And then I've got Pittsburgh going, I don't know if I can throw. When are we going to find out if Ben can throw? What is the deal there with
Sunday.
Him?
Sunday. My guess is he's going to have to only throw short passes because, you know, you have to get the swelling down first, and that's what he's trying to do today and over the course of the next couple of days, and then see how far he can throw. And it's really kind of amazing because he's completed something like 230 of 229 passes 10 yards or less in the air. He's very good at the short passes. So he can still manage like he did in the game, but his game's also rolling out throwing the pass downfield. Well, that part's probably not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he can manage it, but this may be a game where Peyton Manning, as old as he is, might be able to throw further than Roethlisberger.
You know, I saw it last week, the game, and all of a sudden he comes out and damned if he doesn't win that game again. And I'm like, well, I saw it again, but can he do it again? I don't think Pittsburgh can beat them. I think unless Peyton falls down and hurts himself, I think he's going to be all right, even though I thought Pittsburgh was better, but not with I think that Ben is really, really hurt badly.
Yeah, every year injuries catch up to certain teams, and that's going to be the case in a couple instances, and I think we now see it with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because look at the reality. Antonio Brown, the best receiver in the National Football mm-hmm. League, may not be able to play because of a concussion. D'Angelo Williams went to North Carolina to visit Dr. Anderson. And every time you visit Dr. Anderson, that means you may have a Liz Frank foot injury. So he's probably not going to be able to play. So no running back. You know, Le'Veon Bell, of course, is on injured reserve. The best receiver out of there. Ben can't throw downfield. It's all set up for Denver to advance and probably play the New England Patriots.
Well, you know, one of the things is we have Kansas City, and there's no secret I'm a Patriot fan since the day I was like 5 years old. But I believe in New England, but I know they have no offensive line. I'm waiting for them to call me at any minute to go out there because Kansas City, I mean, just killed Houston, which is a whole other thing. When are they going to get a quarterback for the stupid Houston? They've never gotten a real quarterback. I'm like, could you get one and use it for a change? I'm just waiting for that. But Kansas City, I think they've won about as many as they're going to. I got to believe that New England can win this one.
Yeah, and again, they get the break. I mean, in the sense that, Alex Smith is not going to be able to outduel Tom Brady, no matter who's out there at wide receiver for the New England Patriots. But the fact that Jeremy Maclin is unlikely to play because of a high ankle sprain, there's just not enough weapons. I mean, unless you're the biggest Albert Wilson or Chris Conley fan, and neither caught more than like 35 passes, you know, now Alex goes in without his best 1,000-yard receiver, and it really limits what he's going to be able to do. So I think you're right. I mean, it's going to be New England, Denver, but in some ways that's kind of intriguing because now we may see the last time Tom Brady faces Peyton Manning.
You know what I'm thinking about this? As I look at this, and I'm going to do the Cincinnati thing too, all I know, at one point I thought to myself, well, you can't be mad at Marvin, whatever his name is, because he doesn't have Andy Dalton. But then I started thinking, but he has these idiots who can't I mean, they're not like second-year players. These are guys that have been playing for a long time, and they get into, whether it's Burfict or it's Jones or whatever happens, it's like all these bad guys are on the team. What do you do with that? I mean, some people think you should get rid of him, and I'm thinking you can't get rid of him because Andy wasn't there.
Yeah, but and I think it's wise to keep Marvin, because say what you want. I mean, we all have laughed at the Bengals for many, many years. This is a very good Bengal team. I mean, this is probably the most talented Bengal team they've had in 25 years. And so, I mean, and you look, I mean, 38 players in the 53-man roster are guys that they drafted, and a lot of them are very good. You know, they've got, they re-signed the guys, which is something that you never saw before. I mean, they're actually putting out money to keep the A.J. Greens and the Andy Daltons.
Right.
But it's still the greatest choke in the history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first off, I don't care if Andy Dalton could have. I mean, you could have handed off to Jeremy Hill and him fumble and mm-hmm. still be able to win. I mean, the fact that they tried to worry more about the first down than 96 seconds of the clock, to me, is crazy. And then the mistakes, and not just the fact that they had the two penalties, but the fact that they're playing zone with a quarterback who can't throw more than 10 yards. They're playing off coverage. Are you kidding me?
Hmm. John, one of the things is we've gotten through all of these teams. Let me go back to Carolina. I'm not so sure that Carolina can win, even though they finally lost one, and I thought it was good, because if they had won all 16 games, I said they lose in the second round. But they're going against Seattle. Seattle already lost, but that was a different team that lost to Carolina before.
Yeah, and this is a different Carolina team. I mean, because you look at the numbers, and okay, they went 15-1, but they went 15. I mean, they're not for talent a 15-win team. They went 8-0 against the AFC South and the NFC East. Those are the two worst divisions in football. So if you just use those numbers, they're probably for talent an 11-win team. That's good. They've got one of the best young quarterbacks in football. A guy now who's emerged to be an elite quarterback, but look at the secondary. They've lost Charles Tillman. They've lost mm-hmm. Ben Wickery. They had to pull Cortland Finnegan out of retirement and then have Bob McCann out there. It's like, who is Bob McCann?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's their second-best cornerback. And so their secondary, and they have Roman Harper, you can run faster than.
Mm-hmm.
So you put all those things together, I think they're going to be vulnerable, particularly with Russell Wilson being as hot as he is and not being in zero-degree weather.
Yeah, and being in nice weather for a change would do all of that. Let me do a couple of things. Now, Adam Gase, whatever his name is, goes to the Dolphins. What do I buy out of that? Do I buy anything, or is this another guy that'll be gone in a couple of years?
Well, I mean, he's a bright young coach. There's no question. He comes in and he works very well with quarterbacks. He's worked well with Peyton Manning. Believe it or not, he actually worked well with Jay Cutler. I mean, Jay Cutler didn't cut him off by the middle of the season like he does most offensive coordinators. But, we'll see. He's got Vance Joseph as defensive coordinator. He has to change the culture. And what you wonder about, you look at him, I mean, is the personality strong enough to change the culture of that franchise? Joe Philbin came in as a nice guy, and you saw him in Hard Knocks. I mean, he had mm-hmm. picking up all the little waste products and things like that, and trying to make sure that everybody has water when they have meetings and things. I mean, it was great, but it was just too nice. Well, he'll be a little bit rougher, but can he turn the culture of that franchise around? And that's a big debatable issue right now.
And what do you buy with the Hugh Jackson thing going to the Browns?
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, because I'm a big Hugh Jackson guy, and I don't know if he took the right job. I mean, first off, the best person for that job probably would have either been Tony La Russa, Jim Leland, Lloyd McClendon, because, I mean, you've got a 37-year-old sabermetrics guy who works with analytics mm-hmm. at one end, and then you hire Moneyball guy at the other end. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? And then you give Sashi Brown, the 37-year-old lawyer, control of the 53-man roster. Now, maybe in the negotiations, Hugh was able to get some structural power in picking the players, and he's going to need it. Because remember, what got Ray Farmer, a very smart general manager, fired is he tried to accommodate the owner by getting Johnny Manziel, and he tried to accommodate the coach, Mike Pettine, in getting Justin Gilbert, who neither of them are right now any good. I mean, Justin Gilbert barely played, and Johnny Manziel will be probably heading to Dallas for a sixth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, are you going to be able to survive in that environment? I don't know.
John, one of the things is we're talking about them will have to do with the Giants getting rid of Coughlin, and Coughlin wouldn't even speak to whoever it was. I forgot who it was, but he said he wouldn't even talk to somebody there. And he was pretty aggravated, and now he's talking to Philadelphia and whatever else is going on in San Francisco. John, I know you remember this like I do, but do you remember where it was guys that had been around for a while, and that was the coach? Then it became these guys who had not – who were closer to the players, you know, being in their 30s and late 30s. And now it went up, and now it's come back down to we're getting these young coaches again. And then it'll go back up again, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be cycles. I mean, this year you can see the cycle is for young offensive coaches or offensive coaches, and that's because last year six of the seven coaches that were hired were all defensive coaches. I mean, the only offensive coach that got a head coaching job was Gary Kubiak, who went out and knocked out John Fox in Denver. So the trend this year is to go offense, but the best coach clearly is Tom Coughlin. Now, he spent good time interviewing with the 49ers, but I don't even think if he's offered, he'll take that job. You know, if Philadelphia offers, which they may or may not, he would definitely take that, you know, because he's still very family-based. And so, you know, if he's going to take a job, it's going to be more on the East Coast where his family is. But I think that they're probably in Philly going to offer Doug Peterson the offensive coordinator job if, I mean, the offensive coordinator of Kansas City if the Chiefs lose. And so that could be something that will go next Monday or Tuesday. But I think it's Coughlin or Peterson in Philadelphia, and then we'll see what happens in New York with the Giants.
And New York, are they, it seems like, you know, it is New York, everybody focuses on that, but it is the Giants, and we're like, are you getting somebody big or not? Because there's really not anybody big anymore.
No, but you can see that, I mean, that's right now probably the best job because you get the Maras, you get the Tisch, you get New York, you get Eli Manning. All right, so they'd like to be able to promote Ben McAdoo, the 38-year-old offensive coordinator, but he's a 38-year-old offensive coordinator. Is he ready? They had a real good interview with Mike Smith, the former coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And I know that the fallback position is Doug Marrone, the former Buffalo Bills Syracuse coach. And so those are the three main options that they're looking at. And the only thing that's holding back a decision is that, you know, John Mara and family had to go down to Houston to settle out where the Los Angeles move was going to be. So now they're back there, and they're going to try to probably wrap that thing up in the next 2 or 3 days.
What do you find about the fact that they're looking for somebody that, I got to be honest with you, Lovie Smith is a nice guy, but I didn't want him to be the coach here anymore, and it became obvious that nothing was going on. And, you know, it's all about Dirk Cutter, and we're all crazy for it, but we know he's going to get the job here. They're just dancing around, and I don't really understand that, but he's going to get the job here. What do you think about this?
Here's the curious part, and, you know, we can probably agree on Lovie. You know, obviously they gave Lovie the power to pick a lot of the players last year in free agency, and he struck out. And I guess that and you can see that the defense wasn't very good. But think about it for a second. This was not a two-year buildup. Mm-hmm. And Lovie Smith, more than any person in that organization, was the one that was on Jameis Winston. And he is the right quarterback for that franchise, and eventually it'll thrive because of him. But think about what they've done the first 2 years, because free agency is a fallacy for the most part. I mean, you can't build through free agency or build something substantial. You may get a one-year spike, but then you're going to fall back because, you know, you're not going to get your money's worth in free agency. All right, so now you do it in a draft. Well, last year, they took a wide receiver and they took a tight end. This year, they took a quarterback, a guard, a tackle, and that's all in the first two rounds. Well, guess what? You can't get the defense better when you're not getting guys on defense. And so that's where, you know, it's like I can understand maybe their frustration with Lovie and the defense, but if you don't draft to the defense, you can't get the defense better. And they probably did draft the second or third best, maybe in my opinion, the best rookie as far as defense, and Kwame Alexander. I think that guy's sensational. You put Alexander with the Levante David, good linebacking core. You got Gerald McCoy right out in the defensive tackle, but you have to get a defensive end for rushing the passer and a cornerback. And it's like once they start doing that, they're not going to give up 27 points a game.
Well, John, let's talk about L.A. since it's here. We see St. Louis going. You know, I talked to Lee Steinberg last week, I think it was, and he thought that the Raiders would end up with St. Louis. What do you think about that?
No, I don't think Mark Davis has any desire to move there. But right now, I mean, Mark's standing there with a cardboard sign saying, need a home. So it's like he's got to find something for the Raiders. You know, and it's going to be very tricky because, you know, that was not supposed to happen, what happened yesterday. Because they went into the meeting and the Carson Project had 18 to 20 votes. It had the support of the committee. And this league never goes against the committee except yesterday. So what happened was, Stan Kroenke had all the money. He was putting $3 billion into this project, $2.6 for the stadium and $550 for the relocation fee. And all of a sudden, the owner's saying, no, wait a second. We like the property better than the Carson deal. Mm-hmm. We like the fact that we don't have to put in any money. That's good. So all of a sudden, those 10 votes went to 20, and it stole everything away from Dean Spanos in San Diego, from Mark Davis in Oakland, and they were just blindsided. And so now you literally have two owners that temporarily don't have homes. Because now what Dean has to do is go back to San Diego and beg for some kind of a deal from the city of San Diego. And, you know, Mark Davis has to go back and see that he's not going to get an offer in Oakland and wait out to see what Dean does. So in the end, Mark may come up with a better situation than Dean. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, all Mark has to do is wait. And then if he gets the deal if all of a sudden Dean does not do the deal with Stan Kroenke, then he'll have the option to come in as a renter, where he'll have an option to come in as a buyer and go to L.A., even though he's got a bunch of owners that don't want him to go to L.A., but they won't let him go to San Antonio, and he doesn't want to go to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. But what about, and was it Spanos that said he didn't want to deal with Kroenke? Is that the issue that happened with the Chargers and the Rams there?
In part. Now, because and this goes back to a meeting that they had. They had lunch. I think Dean bought lunch. And so he says, let's have lunch. And so they have lunch, and Dean says to Stan, it's like, you have a piece of property in the Walton area. Walton owns this property in Inglewood. Mm-hmm. You know what? This would be a perfect place right at Hollywood Park to be able to put in a stadium. And Stan says, thank you for lunch. It was delicious. And then immediately bought the property. And so, that broke the trust of Dean because he brought him the idea, and, Kroenke bought the property and didn't include Dean. So that's where the trust factor fell, but the fact that he let the trust factor affect him, he should have cut a deal, because the deal was a week ago, 50% of the mm-hmm. profits, and they were going to split it. Well, now, you saw Stan yesterday. He says, well, if they want to come in as a renter or a partner, I mean, mm-hmm. the option's open if they want to do it, but it's all going to be on the terms of Stan. And I don't know what Stan's going to want as far as the terms, but it may not be as good as what was there. So Dean, right. by not taking a deal, is on the outside looking in.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, as you said, he's right there, and he went out, and just Kroenke went and got it, so don't worry about that. Tell me about this. I'm very excited about this weekend, and also, it's always the big weekend, the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship. We're all crazy about it, and I can't wait to sit down for that one. I already have people coming in. I don't like more than four people in my house at any particular time, and like three are coming. Nobody else better come. But I'm letting them come over to see New England, and that's it. They all have to get out afterwards because I don't want them around. You know what I was thinking about when I saw that? They were talking about everybody was all upset that, they left St. Louis and they're going back to, and I don't want to say anything, but John, the amount of money that, let me just go this way, but John, the amount of money that these people are now going to get from having a franchise in L.A., it's going to be unbelievable.
Oh, no question, because, and think about the project that he has, because, it's going to be, so many things around there. It's going to be like an NFL entertainment center, mm-hmm. because, they'll be able to eventually have the NFL Network move in there. You can see that they're going to probably have a Hall of Fame West Coast out there. They're going to have a theme park out there. They're going to have a lot of businesses, hotels, you name it, and he's going to be able to eventually get the profits of all that. And so, you're looking at a guy that's worth $7 billion. He, at the moment, is committing $3 billion into this. How big is that $7 billion fortune going to be in 10 years? A lot bigger, because he's now got the second Marcus in the country. He controls it. I mean, he controls L.A. now like a monopoly, because anybody moving in with him is, one, going to give him a whole bunch of money, $500 million or so, and then he'll control how the profits come. So, I mean, he's the big winner in all this one.
By the way, let me just do the thing. My Pats are 2-4 in the last six games. I don't like that too much. John, did you buy a Powerball?
I bought the 5 for my wife. I don't buy them myself.
You always say that. You always claim that you don't do anything, and I think you do all the things that I'm always asking you about through the years. But the thing that made me think about the thing with L.A., maybe just think about the Sonics and how they were never able to get another basketball team there. And I just, that really crushed me. And I had been away from there for a while, but it just freaked me out completely.
Oh, yeah, and it's terrible. I mean, that's why a lot of people, even though Starbucks is real big in this area like it is around the country, they're not real big on the owner, Howard Schultz, because he didn't give enough opportunity for enough Seattle buyers to be able to keep the team in town. He immediately just sold it off to Oklahoma. And, it's like, do you think there might be a few people that might have taken – I mean, Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers for, what, $2 billion, and he would have been happy to buy the Sonics. Didn't get the opportunity to give him the chance. He really, I mean, he like Stan Kroenke, stole the franchise out of town.
I love you, John. It was great to talk to you. I thank you so much. It's always great. I hope you're good. Say hi to Pat and to everybody around there, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
I love you. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
I love John Clayton. I love it when he comes to visit us on the Babecast. You know what? I want to do a couple of things. Oh, I knew what I was going to tell you. When we were little and they did the Pro Bowl, we thought it was great. Because maybe you were a person that mostly you saw the Packers, or you saw New England, or you saw the Jets all the time. But then when everybody got together and everybody was seeing everybody else, I might like the Jets, but maybe they were going to play, you know, the Chargers, and I'd be able to see that in the Pro Bowl. We don't care about it now. It's nice that you get there and all that, but no one cares about that. I mean, it's like, okay, and then remember when they took it to Miami? What was the point of that? I'm like, oh, I'm not going to Miami either. Send me to Hawaii, or I'm not going at all. So I wouldn't have liked that. I figured out why, but we don't care about it at all. Oh, I have to tell you something. First of all, I understand that I believe Monday is when the American Ninja Warriors are coming out, and that's all in the world I do care about. And so I'll just be sitting there watching it the whole time. I won't be able to talk to anybody. I'll just be watching it the whole time. Do you know that it's also on the Esquire Network? Which is the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. The Esquire Network has these kids that are like 4 and 5 years old, but their whole thing is taking them to the little teeny tiny tournaments that 4 and 6 year old kids can be in. And it's all about how they, you know, how they pack the car and how they get ready. And the guy is your, like, your father is the guy that's doing this, and he's a terrible maniac, and you're a maniac. It's the weirdest thing at all. Oh, I have things to tell you about. Let me just tell you this. I watch news. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I always watched news when I was really young. And I've always watched the news, and I watch it at 6:30 every day like everybody. But I'm starting to get a little confused here. Because I got this thing, and I'm watching the news all the time, and I got Trehalo. Well, it's a diabetes drug, and I get it confused with Trivago, which is about getting an apartment in Paris. So I got this diabetes stuff, and then I got this other thing of moving around, and I get very confused with them. It's not because when I tried to put it in one day and I tried to do Trivago, I said it didn't, it kept coming up as the diabetes. I was very drunk. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. It's the Babecast, don't you know that? Because I am the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the babe at all, you know this show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.